Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text 10. Kamasya Nendriya Pratir Labho Jivaita Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yash Cheha Karma Bihi Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Labo Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yas Cheha Karma Bihi Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yas Cheha Karma Bihi Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yas Cheha Karma Bihi Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Yavseta Karma Bhi Yapritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Yes, Jaya Karma B. Masya Nindriya Pritir. Lodhi Veta Yavata. Masya Dhatra Jagyasa. Yes, Jaya Karma B. Yanindriya Pritir Odivaita Yavata Sajya Jodhigasa Nato Yastra Karma Vi Vaishnavis Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Narto Yas Cheha Karma Bhi Kamasya Nindriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Labho Jiveta Karma Bhi Kamasya of desires Na not Indriya senses Pritihi satisfaction. Labha, gain. Jiveta, self-preservation. Yavata, so much so. Jivasya, of the living being. Tattva, the absolute truth. Jigyasa, inquiries. Na, not. Artaha, and. Ya cha iha, whatsoever else. Karma bihi, by occupational activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Purport. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion, or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction, there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage, or the combination of a man with a woman, is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagement in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again, life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes several statements about this topic of controlling the senses and not being overwhelmed by the pursuit of sense gratification. For example, he says here in the purport, for example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, but foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there's search after the absolute truth. So, family planning means restricting the birth of children by artificial means like abortion and contraception. That's what's being described here. And, the concern that people who advocate this kind of family planning is that they're is overpopulation, too many people. That's their concern. And in the 19th century, there was an economist named Malthus. Srila Prabhupada refers to him several times in his lectures and books. So, this economist Malthus was famous for his observation that population increases more rapidly than food production increases. So eventually, he said, and he's very famous for this observation, when the earth becomes overpopulated because of these things, then nature responds to reduce the population by war, famine, disease, and so on. What's really not understood so well is that he said, ideally, that shouldn't happen. You know, there shouldn't be any overpopulation like that. So the ideal solution is exactly what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here. A voluntary restraint from sexual activity without vice, he said. And by that he meant without abortion and contraception and all this. Voluntary restraint. I kind of noted down, you know, some things that he said. He said this illicit sex is very bad. He said, quote, a promiscuous intercourse to such a degree as to prevent the birth of children seems to lower in the most marked manner the dignity of human nature. When a general corruption of morals with regard to sex pervades all classes of society, its effects must necessarily be to poison the springs of domestic happiness, to weaken conjugal and parental affection, and to lessen the united exertion and ardor of parents in the care and education of their children. So he was noticing that the real method of population control should be voluntary restraint. You know, Srila Prabhupada is saying in his purport that the real family planning is voluntary restraint from unrestricted sexual activity. Of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, kamosmi bharatarshapa dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshapaha, that I am sex life that is carried out according to religious principles. And that religious principle is that sex life should only be engaged in for the purpose of generating progeny. And we find that throughout the Vedic literature. And even this economist Malthus, he noted India in this regard. You know, he was noting that the Vedic literature is very strong on this point of restricting sense gratification. You know, Vedic literatures like the Manusamhita. And he said, he noted, quote, in almost every part of the ordinance of Manu, sensuality of all kinds is strongly reprobated, and chastity is inculcated as a religious duty. So that's the point that's being made in this verse. You know, sense gratification should be restricted. Kamasya nindriya pritir. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. The Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining. So in regards to this family planning, one of the major figures in introducing it early in the 20th century was a lady called Margaret Sanger. You know, she was one of the chief propagandists for this movement, which has now become dominant here in the United States and around the world. But she went to India once, and she said she tried to convince Gandhi to adopt, you know, some system of family planning in India. And she said, quote, he agreed that no more than 3 or 4 children should be born to a family, but insisted that intercourse, therefore, should be restricted for the entire life of the married couple to 3 or 4 occasions. Which is basically the standard for those who are trying to advance very seriously in Krishna consciousness, that sex life should be restricted to the generation of progeny, to having children. And aside from that, one should not engage in unrestricted sense gratification. So it's kind of interesting, yeah, that Gandhi said that. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes noted that Gandhi, after the age of 35, was celibate, and that he got a great deal of power because of that. He was able to influence people to a very high degree because of that austerity. So, in another sense, this idea of overpopulation is, in one sense, a kind of a myth. And even Malthus said he really didn't object to an increase in population. He only objected if the result of the increase in population was an increase in misery and vice, sinful activity. So this is the concept of Varna Sankara in the Vedic literature. Unwanted population, unplanned population, generated simply because of sense gratification. Such people are going to behave in a very uncontrolled way. So vice and misery are going to increase. And we actually see that. Actually, the earth can support an unlimited population. There have been scientific studies that have shown this, especially if people would adopt a vegetarian diet. You know, the earth could support a much greater population than there is today, you know, without any problem. And Srila Prabhupada has noted that also, that if people are good and spiritually inclined, the earth, Mother Earth, Bhumi, will provide for them. But if people are sinful and are ignoring the real purpose of life, then the earth restricts the resources, and there are different miseries that occur. So the real solution to all of these things is to generate good population. And the system of Vedic culture was set up so as to do that. So the other point I'd like to explore here is the one that Srila Prabhupada makes in the beginning of his purport, he says, the completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed towards the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. And why is that? Everything starts with the ideas on the subtle level. You know, that determines our actions. So, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains the divine and the demoniac natures. He says, Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishparam aparasprasam bhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. He explains there's a certain philosophy that says there is no God in control of the universe. There is no design purpose to human life. You know, we should just simply try to gratify our senses to the maximum extent possible. That is the demoniac conception of life. And in that 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes on to explain what the result of such a philosophy is. It says, people will think that to gratify the senses unlimitedly until death is the main purpose of human life. They will have thousands and thousands and thousands of material desires that they could never satisfy. And in that 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also explains that in pursuit of unlimited sense gratification, people will create horrible things meant to destroy the world. And, of course, there we could think of all the weapons that scientists are inventing, nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons. But even the ordinary technology, you know, the automobile, for example, is very dangerous. Each year in the United States, 50,000 people are killed in automobile accidents. It's about as many United States soldiers that died in the whole Vietnam War. Srila Prabhupada would often note, yes, people are driving on these highways at breakneck speed. At any moment, there can be a crash, 5, 6, 7 cars, and lots of people dead. So this is what this civilization has created. It's a dangerous civilization for a lot of different reasons. The main one being that people who are part of this civilization that is encouraging unrestricted gratification of the senses are going to remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. An intelligent person will see that. So, what is the solution? And the third line of this verse, you know, the solution is given. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. The jiva, the living entity, should inquire about the absolute truth. Actually, you know, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here that a real devotee should just be overwhelmed with researching the absolute truth. And not just researching in a theoretical way where you're just paging, but doing the actual experiment. You know, Srila Prabhupada once said that real science means you do the experiment and get the result. You know, that's the actual real science. So sometimes he spoke of the science of Krishna consciousness. So we should daily be theoretically, you know, researching the absolute truth, trying to inform ourselves from guru, shastra, and sadhu what the absolute truth is. But more than that, we should daily be making the experiment in our own lives of practically applying the principles of devotional service, and then we can observe the results as our consciousness transforms. And you know, that's the actual purpose of human existence, as it's stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth, or as stated here in this verse, Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa. So, how does one inquire about the absolute truth? Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreyam Uttamam. You know, the Vedic literature recommends if you're interested in the ultimate goal of life, the Shreya Uttama, if you're interested in inquiring about that, Jigyasu Shreya Uttama, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta, you have to surrender to bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide Acharya. And in our Krishna Consciousness Movement, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the Acharya, the founder Acharya of our society, and is thus the Shiksha Guru for all of us. And every day we're studying his books that out of His great mercy He has left for us to guide us in this process of Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa, inquiry after the absolute truth. Tadvidi Pranipatena Pari Prashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tattva Darshanaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, yes, to learn about these things, you have to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, serve the spiritual master, and inquire submissively. Then, because the spiritual master has seen the truth, he can reveal that truth to the disciple. And as far as material necessities are concerned, one should strive for them only to the extent that's absolutely necessary, as Srila Prabhupada said many times, to keep body and soul together. But why do we keep the body and soul together? Only for this higher purpose. Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa. We're not just trying to keep the body and soul together in a simple way. That's not the goal of life. We should try to keep the body and soul together so we can advance in Krishna consciousness, advance in our researching of the absolute truth. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 21, Krishna says, Shariram Kevalam Karma, means just for the sake of keeping the body fit for advancement in devotional service, one should accept some sense gratification and work for it, which is the message that's being given in the verse today, which I'll read one more time. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So, any question or comment? Abba Bhakta Maharaj.
Thank you for a very nice clarification of these various points that have been made in both the translation and the purport. I just have one, not exactly a question, but hope that you can perhaps expound a little bit further on this. You had mentioned, I think, Thomas Malthus, the well-known economist, and I think Srila Prabhupada mentioned that he his whole idea or his theory was that if you have too many people, there will not be enough food to feed them. And this, of course, is a big myth. It's complete ridiculous. If you go to Israel or the Middle East countries, it was complete barren, complete desert, and they've been able to produce food. And when you take a flight and you look down, you see literally millions and millions of acres of land which can be used ultimately to harvest food. So perhaps you can speak a little bit more on that point to show the fallacy of Malthus.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned in the talk, there have been studies done showing that the Earth can actually support a much bigger population than it has today. Now, I think there's 6 or 7 billion people, but, you know, there have been studies done showing that the Earth could support a far larger population. And Srila Prabhupada often, you know, mentioned, you know, because from time to time, you know, we hear that somewhere in the world, you know, people are starving. He said, it's not because there's a lack of food in the world. There's a lack of good management on the part of the governments. So that's why one part of Srila Prabhupada's program for spreading Krishna consciousness in the world was to establish self-sufficient farming communities, you know, based on the Varnashram principles, because he wanted to demonstrate that actually it is possible for the earth to provide opulently for the needs of the people. But as I said, in addition to that, there have been scientific studies done showing, in particular, that if people adopted a vegetarian diet, it would be, because so much of the Earth's agricultural produce is now being fed to animals that are slaughtered, you know, for eating. And it's just, even from a scientific point of view, it's a very inefficient way to use the Earth's resources, agricultural resources. And as I was also mentioning, you know, the Earth is actually a personality, Bhumi, and she can provide for all of her children if they're in the proper consciousness. If they're not in the proper consciousness, then things get disturbed. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.